Good evening. Sure is nice to see you and nice to be with you this evening. This evening we're going to be talking about the spiritual influence that women and mothers have, grandmothers have, single women have. You have a great deal of influence. And I'm going to just open us in prayer and we'll jump in with both feet. So please let me pray for us and we'll begin. Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of being here with the ladies tonight and the opportunity for that and your need for you this evening, Father, to speak through me and speak through your word and help us all, help them in particular as we look at some things specific to them. I pray your help, your guidance, your direction, and that your spirit would be active in our hearts, Father. And use this time for your glory, the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. I was looking for something, and I went online about the 21st century woman and just kind of what that is all about. And I found an article by a lady named Crystal Adams, Why Being a Woman in the 21st Century is Amazing. And I'm not going to read, just in the very first paragraph right off the bat here, she says, just like other creatures in the world, women have also evolved and are continuing to evolve to be able to adapt to the new ever-changing environment. And then she says, the woman of the 21st century is focusing on themselves and their own personal lives more than historical women ever have. And she says this is the prevailing attitude of the day. Well, I want to focus in on that because that is at the bottom line of what we're going to talk about tonight, about our influence, focusing on themselves and on their personal lives. I hope you recognize that's not what we are to be doing, whether we're woman or man or whatever we are. And it all fits in with the acceleration of evil in the day in which we live, these last days, and it's contingent upon us in Christ to be lights against the madness of this kind of selfism that is there. We are not only under a curse, but the prince of this world knows that these are the last days, and that he has a short time, and he's pressing all kinds of attacks upon us, redefining morals, the murder of babies, of course, the deviancy of sexual identity, pressing humanism and false religion and the destruction of God's defined home, which is a big deal, and much more. And we must have very clear vision in our mind about how we deal with all that pressuring in upon us. Even more individually, we have personal attacks pressed upon us. And the first one, I read, is selfism, making self the center of my life, with a continual emphasis today upon our rights and our self-esteem and our deserving and our focus on pleasures and all of the my kind of stuff that goes on, superficial thinking, which is a concern for gratification rather than character, or spending life blindly for just the immediate rather than for God and for eternity, desiring things more than God and more than even, unfortunately, even relationships with peoples and certainly not with a lacking of desire to please God because more and more people do not know him. So looking at others and even our families as in also is a thing that happens in this generation as sort of in the way of my happiness. You know, my children are in the way of my happiness. My husband doesn't understand me. You know, my mother-in-law, my mother, you know, whatever. They're just in the way of my personal space. And all of that kind of thing associated with me-ism. And it's all wrapped, all these kinds of philosophies are wrapped in pretty packages set up like a mousetrap to destroy those who buy into them. Okay, so tonight we're looking at godly women as mothers and spiritual influencers. And we're going to see that really this covers the gamut because it also has godly grandmothers in here who have a lot of influence as well, and I know some of you are grandmothers. Now notice again this article bragging about focusing on themselves and their own personal lives. In other words, the unashamed cultural trend is self-centeredness, so that when this person comes to the end of their days, and there's no thought of that, it doesn't seem, what do they have to show for living? What do any of us have to show for living if all we've done is for us? For us. In this series, you've been discussing God's roles for women, and there's a lot of latitude, I think, within those roles. And it may be that you're on track with that. I certainly hope that you are. And it may be that your family, your spouse, and your children are your aura, your sphere of influence. And every one of us have a sphere of influence. Sunday school, teacher, you may be that. You may be have influence in your neighborhood. Maybe you have children next door that you interact with sometimes. You have loved ones that you interact with regularly. And you have people at church and work. Some of you work. Maybe you volunteer for things. And you have people there that you influence. But there is, with every one of us, a sphere of influence. And I liken it to, if you go out to a still pond, and you, all of us have probably done that as a kid or sometime in your life, and you throw in the still water and you throw a rock out there in the middle, and you'll see that circle widening and widening. The things which are important to women are really should be the same things that are important to every one of God's own. What is our purpose? Always. It's to glorify God in our life. And to do this, we must not look to ourselves, but to look to God, to not the trendy movements or any of that stuff, but strictly to God's Word. Let me summarize very quickly something I'm just going to read here to you about everything is founded on God's Word. And why? Because it's right. Here it is. God has established what is right. And apart from God, we cannot know what is right. Nehemiah 9:13 says, God gave right ordinances, true laws, and good commandments. Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right. Psalm 119:75 says, the judgments of the Lord are right. Psalm 119:128 says, I esteem all of thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Hosea 14:9 says, the ways of the Lord are right. In Romans 7, we read, the law of the Lord is perfect. Paul says, it is holy and right and good. And the only way you can live properly, now get this, of course you know this, as a woman of God is according to the Word of God. This is the true place of blessing and the place where your influence is going to really reside. Now, let's go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 beginning. And probably everyone here is familiar with this. It says, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. This applies, we think of, as a man looking for a wife, but I hope you see it really applies to every woman. Whether you have a family or not, this is a template for the kind of woman that you want to be before God. Why? This is God's evaluation. And he puts a value on this that exceeds anything else in the world. I have used the word here before for this as a superlative woman. Precious, rare, and valuable, which is what that word means. Anyone can be a conformist to humanism and all the isms that engulf the world and its thinking, but this woman, now get this, is different, right? Is different. Now, if you're going to follow Christ, you must be different in a good way, in a righteous way, with godly character, not the norm. And this woman is rare, and she is remarkable. The word excellent in Hebrew means strength with efficiency, and it's such a powerful word, it's used to describe the strength of an army in Exodus 14:4. It's also the same word Moses used when he selected judges in Exodus 18:21. For any finite person, this is the highest assessment and compliment from God that there can be. Because he says here, who can find? And he's talking about this is scarce. This is very rare. In fact, it should remind us, in that sense, of the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ talks about the broad road, the narrow road, the broad gate, the narrow gate, and he says, few there be that find it. Rare, rare. This is a woman of Christ's likeness. And so this is for those desiring God. It's his will and his way that you, as a woman, seek to follow the same general pathway that this woman has followed and given us timelessly in Scripture. It's a refreshing portrait to know what God expects in its own display. He says she's far above jewels, that's so important that the measurement of her value is beyond everything else. Now, the world has a different agenda, don't they? And too often, even those in the church will allow the world's attitudes to influence our thinking, there's that word influence again, rather than God's word, where our minds should be fostering everything that he tells us, because our role is to be pleasing to him. So, foremost, every woman needs a true life in Christ. And that needs you're in the sanctification process. If you've come to true faith in Christ, and you need to foster that. Foster it in prayer and Bible study and communion with the Lord, doing his will. And that's the reason that this woman could be called superlative, unquestionably. It's because she was a woman after God's own heart. Now, the first thing I've listed on your paper there is the serving woman. The serving woman. And for that, I'm going to jump down to verse 26. Verse 26 of chapter 31. We don't have time tonight to thoroughly go through anything. But women generally take a lot of domestic roles of service. But there are exceptions to that, and you know what they are. Even in Scripture, there's the Judge Deborah. There's obviously in our world today, there are CEOs that are women. I often think of Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of England, and boy, she did a bang-up job. Or how about Golda Meir, who was the Prime Minister of Israel for a time? So the issue is not necessarily a position, but it's grace and faithfulness, and ultimately to God, to serve where God puts us. And mom, who gracefully serves, which is the majority of the cases, or grandma, there's no one greater. Remember, the issue is service. Christ Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's Matthew 20:28. Our value is immeasurable when we are faithful in our devotion to God and service. I don't care where that service is, but I think it's particularly found in the home, particularly in the home. Look down again at verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, this tells us that where she's been situated is in the Word of God, doesn't it? That's why she opens her mouth in wisdom. And this kindness is the word hesed in the Old Testament. You've heard it many times, and it's usually translated loving kindness, but it can be even translated grace. In other words, she teaches and reflects God's truth in grace. She chooses her words lovingly so that her tongue is powerfully exhibiting Christ. You look at verse 27, and she says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's devoted to her family. She's serving them and even to others, we will see, because she gives herself for them, serving them. She receives the greatest reward possible, and that is seen in verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Now, maybe your family hadn't risen up and said that to you lately. I don't know. It may be slow coming in some situation, or it may not arrive at all. But it will from God. Do you see that? I hope you do. This is what he wants you to do. This is what he wants you to do. And that's what matters, is that you have an attitude of service, and you're looking through all of that service ultimately to God Almighty, and you keep on keeping on. And how do you do this? By faith. By faith. You don't get caught up in the me-ism of our day. And if all we have is the satisfaction of knowing we're doing God's will, isn't that all we need? I think there'll be more that will come. And even if somebody doesn't rise up and say it to you, boy, they appreciate you. They appreciate you so much. I can't tell you how much I'm so fine. I thank God every day for my mother that I had. I thank God for my wife that's setting that kind of example. And our children have risen up, and they're amazed now that they're grown. They didn't say much when they were little, but now that they're grown, they look back and say, "Wow, this was amazing." Yes, it was. And that's the way we want to be. This is how righteousness and truth, by the way, is passed from generation to generation. And what a worldly contrast, or a contrast, should I say, a contrast to worldly self-centered womanhood that's missing the righteous influence of Almighty God over them and their very purpose for being. Because it's all of our purpose for being. It's to serve one another, to serve God, and to serve one another. If you look down in verse 31, it says, well, let me back up to verse 30. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I don't think that verse 30 is saying be careless about your looks. Charm here in the Hebrew means gracefulness of form, and especially it's focused on the face. But what it is saying is our focus should not just be on the outside. And you see, again, that's the kind of world we live in, isn't it? It's all about what's on the outside, not what is on the inside. That's what's important. And if our focus is only on the outside, but we're not doing what is described, we are merely covering up a disobedient heart. Because God, what does he do? He looks at our heart. He looks at our heart and our obedience to Him. So put the emphasis of your life on pleasing God, serving God by serving others as He has designed. There's a quote by Spurgeon that I think is very important, and I'm just going to read it here. Spurgeon says, "You are as much serving God in looking after your own children and family, training them up in God's fear, minding the house and making your house a church for God, as much as you would if you'd been charged to lead an army to battle for the Lord of hosts." That is Spurgeon. There is no amount of emphasis and price that could be put on the value of your of the souls of your family and on what they see, and you have such mighty influence, especially with children, and that's true with grandma as well as ma. The children migrate to the softer sex, right? They do. I did as a kid, and our children did. They migrate to mama more than they migrate to daddy, but both have their right and their role and all of that. But I'm just saying that's exceedingly important, exceedingly important. Now flip over into the New Testament, into 2 Timothy. My goodness, I'm way behind already. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And these things are put here, and they're powerful just in the fact of what they're stating. 2 Timothy 3:15, let me back up to 14. "You, however, continue the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." He's talking to Timothy. This is Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a powerful man of God that Paul richly invested in. And he says, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." From childhood you have known this. I'm sure there were thousands of times mom and grandma had to place themselves on hold to attend in patient love little Timothy. And so it is today. It hasn't changed. I composed what I believe, and by the way, we're going to see that this was Lois and Eunice. This was Ma and Grandma that his teaching is coming from. But I composed what I believe is a list of Christian essentials to teach your children. I decided I'd just do this to influence them, and that I think are really important, and they're missing in a lot of places today. And first of all, they need to know that they won't settle. Is this what? Yeah, basic issues. All right, okay. I thought it was. They need to know that you won't settle for a sort of Christianity that does not work in their heart. They need a true relation to Christ, and that you will do all you can to help them know Jesus Christ. So here's these basics. Salvation is built on faith from knowledge of Scripture, isn't it? The Bible is our most precious possession. Boy, that is something that is so missing in our culture today. Sort of take it or leave it attitude. It is true, reliable, takes priority in a world of evil and wrong thinking. They must be taught about the condition of their hearts. That's also missing. That they are rebellious and disobedient toward God. All people are born that way. Everyone is born that way. And they need to know not only that God is loving, but also that He's holy and just, and that He will bring terrible, everlasting punishment on those who do not turn from their sins and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. They need to know what Christ did on the cross, dying as a love substitute for sinners, that God can and does forgive sinners who come to Him in accordance with His Word. And they need to know that true saving faith is the only thing that can save. And they need to know that the scripture says only a few out of many find it. Isn't that what Christ said? So it's a rare thing. It's not that we look around us and see what everybody else is doing. No, we do just the opposite. We look to the Word and it becomes an individual issue. And they need to know there's a lot of empty religion and empty professions, and that such will not save. They won't impress God at all. And they need to understand what it means to repent of sin, turn from it, and turn to Christ in faith and love. And they need to know that true saving faith will be seen in how they think and act in living their lives. It makes a change within. These are things that in the little stories that children are taught and so forth, they're not really taught. And they need to understand, I think, these basic things. Why don't you leave that up there just for a while, Daryl? Let the ladies that are wanting to copy that down. The next section I gave on here was a spiritual woman. The family is God's basic school. And we think of, Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Because the family is the place where the next generation is born and where the next generation will be influenced to learn how to live. And really and truly, you can't send this off to anybody else. Nobody can do that for you. It's something that mama has to do. I think grandma has to do it as well. They're in this together. And you have such an opportunity for influence. Since we're in 2 Timothy, go back to chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's where we bring in Ma and Grandma. Paul says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. His faith came to him through Grandma and Ma, and years of consistent godly influence by these in Timothy's life was used of God. And then if you flip over to chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, he tells Timothy, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. How much influence, you see. And that from childhood you've known those sacred scriptures, what we just read earlier. And then he gets into all scriptures inspired by God and profitable. The focus is on knowing God's truth so that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work, down in verse 17. And by the way, Acts 16:1, we don't have time to go there, informs us that Timothy's father was a Greek unbeliever. So Eunice, Timothy's mom, and Lois give us hope to all women in mixed marriages. If her son Timothy could grow up to follow the Lord as he did, as a key person in the New Testament, then God may do the same for children in mixed families where there's an unbeliever and a believer living together. And I could say the same thing for a single woman. The influence here was mom and grandma upon this young man that came to faith and was so utilized by God. And so in order to lead your family in influence, first and foremost, you have to be growing spiritually yourself in your life. I'm going to rattle off a bunch of verses that you might want to scribble down that you want to look at. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 3, 7, 1 Timothy 5, 4, 1 Timothy 5, 14 and 15, as we've already looked at. How about Genesis 18, 19, or Joshua 24, 15, or 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, or Luke 4, 8? And all of these are going to tell you that you must be committed to the Word of God, understand it, and be an example for the others around you. You should be actively committed to a church. And not just any church, but a church where the truth is taught and where there's sincere worship. That's Hebrews 10:25. For personal development and the ability to be a blessing. Again, not just for yourself, but for the others in your sphere of influence. Now, there are some key issues on influencing your children. I listed those on your paper. I'm going to rattle through those real quickly. And just think about these, because each one of these is very rich, if you really think about it. You cannot impart what you do not possess and then exemplify it. In other words, if you're cold and indifferent to one degree or another about things that are spiritual in your relation to God, how can you possibly pass that on to your children and grandchildren? If your children seldom see you seeking God through His word and prayer, neither will they for themselves. It must be top priority. And they must know that. No ifs, ands, or buts. You must make prayer with and for your children a matter they see, hear, and know is occurring. Hearing you pray for them diligently, pouring your heart out, and so forth. If they don't see you changing in your understanding of and obedience to the Word, if it's not real in you, they won't be motivated to think the Word is important to you, and it won't be, therefore, to them. If the Bible is seldom read to the children, not quoted to them appropriately as they move through situations and experiences of living, and there's all kinds of opportunities for that. Isn't there issues that go on at school? I mean, doesn't it go on every day? Mama, you wouldn't believe what happened. Grandma, you wouldn't believe what happened today. Bring the Word of God back into that, into their lives. If you're not paying attention to it, don't expect them to. And if mom is not concerned about going to church and what Sunday school teacher or the pastor is saying to their children and about what the children get and receive there and are listening to, the children will assume such is not that important. And so the children must see the evidence of your love for God, for His Word, for obedience to Christ in your life, and that you insist on the same for them, that living for Christ and a desire for them to know and live for Christ is your top concern. Please keep in mind, and I know I focused a lot on children because that's such an important area of influence, especially for moms and grandmas. But children battle the curse from inside of them. They are naturally self-centered, and they battle the world system outside of them. It's everywhere. And nowadays, again, they battle evil at every turn. It's getting deeper and darker every day. And therefore, they must not be just left to themselves to grow up like a weed, but they must be assisted wisely to develop as God-fearing persons. They must be assisted to come alongside, to guide and direct, to be your influence over them, and just permeating their life. They'll always think of you as a pillar and be thankful. I know that if they come to know the Jesus Christ, it'll be so important. Nothing is more important. You are their, I believe, greatest influence. The greatest influence. Children are comfortable around women, more so than they are around us hard-headed, old, rough-edged guys. Not that we don't have a role there and a responsibility, too. We certainly do. But I think your role is unique and special, and I hope you'll take full advantage of that. God help you do it. Let me pray. I went 5 minutes over, so throw rocks at me. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the instruction in your word is so clear, so powerful. I pray that you'd bless these women for coming out tonight and others that may be listening online. Father, that they'll stand apart from the world and the attitudes that are existing in the world that are godless and foolish, but instead they'll be an influence on anyone and everyone that they come in contact with, that they are a woman of God, that they love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they want others to know Jesus Christ as well. Please bless them. Guide each one of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.